Hey everyone, Gronk here telling you to check out DraftKings.com, my home for 1 week fantasy football.
You're now tuned in to a Mac Bizzo Radio Fantasy Sports Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this edition of Mac Bizzo Radio. Today is September the 26th, 2015, and this is the Flex Show, DraftKings and FanDuel salaries across positions to help you make rosters that put cash in your pocket, okay? So, yeah, there's a little bit of technical difficulty with yesterday's show, little upload stuff, so thanks for being patient with that. Doing a little schedule change. I'm going to post these in the AM rather than late PM, and that should be great. So thanks for the listener feedback on that information. I thought that was super cool. Cruising in to start the show. I've got a DraftKings roster for you that you should not start. Listen to these names because everybody sounds awesome, okay? But I'm telling you, you don't play this roster, and I'll tell you why, okay? It's the best dollar per point. It's the most fantasy point projected for the whole $50,000 in salary. It's Tom Brady, Marshawn Lynch, Devonta Freeman, Keenan Allen, Allen Robinson, Doug Baldwin, Travis Kelce, Brandon Marshall, and the New England Patriots. Projected to get 154.28 points at a fantastic $324 per point rating. That's what's called an optimal projected lineup. You don't play those. And in fact, those rosters actually did some extensive research on this last week. So catch the shows, you know. These rosters fall in a very tight floor with zero variance, like even across multiple roster designs. When you take the top projected players using the maximum 50,000 salary, combined all the best values of it, that team will fall flat on its face, and you're not going to be in the cash. So think about that when you're listening to other people out in industry. You know, sometimes you guys out there, I'll leave you a little bit of a comment like, dude, did you really do any research at all, or are you like a cute face trying to channel some plays to your YouTube? Like, I got a whole bunch of reasons why you should not play Nick Foles when everybody says play Nick Foles. Okay, so I'm going to share that with you. I've got a recap of the Fantasy-O-Matic green light matchups, and we're going to do pure green light matchups. Okay, so we've got all the DraftKings, all the FanDuel, the salaries, the value players, positive trends, all that awesome stuff. Okay, I've got a ton of player news because you, the fantasy football player, If it's your first season, welcome to the injury slaughter, okay? So everybody's got somebody on their roster that's hurt. And don't forget about week four. That's the first bye week of the season. So if you have holes in your roster to fill, grab these guys before Sunday morning, okay? ASAP, you can fill in at QB with Joe Flacco at Pittsburgh or Tyrod Taylor versus the New York Giants. Okay, a couple of guys there. At running back, yeah, Nile Davis at Cincinnati. Hey, I'm just throwing it out there. You know, that's obviously hopefully just a RB2. You don't want to try to slap him in for your, you know, Adrian Peterson kind of thing, you know. But, hey, Lance Dunbar at New Orleans in week four, okay. Maybe even this week, okay. If you're unsure, like me, about Michael Crabtree, hey, pick him up, stash him, wait a week, play him versus Chicago. Okay? Even Crockett Gilmore. Can you believe that Joe Flacco and Crockett Gilmore could be a player stack next week in week four? That sounds like the most horrific thing on a daily fantasy roster imaginable. But I want to tell you something that I learned from last week's Monday Night Sweat show on DraftKings. There was this kid, Aaron DeKing. The host of the show said that someone described him as a fraternity robot. A super funny clip of, you know, just this kid that had never played. His buddies wouldn't even let him in the league. He won a huge chunk of cash, you know, randomly playing a lineup. Super fun stuff. I think everybody watching was just totally cracking up. Anyway, the whole point is, you got us fantasy football hosts. And you know, I got to give a shout out again to Sigmund Bloom, because he nailed this on their Thursday night hangout, the Audible. So us fantasy analysts have all this stuff. We know that it's never right 100% of the time, but we always do the best we can because for some reason we're super passionate about it and love to bring you the information. Shoot, it takes a lot of work, you know. If you think you listen to more podcasts than Mac B or do more fantasy football research, then come talk on the show with me, okay? You can send an email to macbizzo@yahoo.com. Everyone would love to hear about your stuff. In fact, we're going to try to get Mr. Fantasy-O-Matic on the show here soon for you, too, after the Week 3 algorithm results are really kicking in and gluing guys in for us. All right, so yeah, anyway, maybe even Richard Rodgers at San Francisco if you need another tight end fill. Carolina at Tampa Bay in Week 4, okay? San Diego at Cleveland, okay? So those are Dallas and New Orleans maybe, okay? So anyway, always look ahead, okay? Mac Bizzo will help you be about a week ahead of your buys. I do that every year. Expecting more and expecting less in this week, week three, for your fantasy teams, okay? So here's something that I do agree with. A lot of media sources talking to you about Cam Newton this week, okay? On the Cam Newton side of the skill set, it's really just average for him. On the Saints side of the skill set, they're giving up a little bit more, okay? We talked early about how the Panthers had a pretty easy strength of schedule along with Tampa Bay throughout most of the season, okay? And so far, Newton, what, 4.7 yards per pass attempt average? That's the fourth lowest in the league. But last year, 35 points against the Saints for Cam, and so maybe he's kind of got their number, and Cam is definitely a ham, so, you know, if he thinks that he can show off a little bit, I'm sure that he will. So let's get into this Nick Foles thing right before I hop into the player news. There are an overwhelming amount of analytics that point to a favorable situation for Nick Foles. Now, in last week's beta testing, we learned that when you triangulate upon a group of players that all have incredibly lots of analytics for them. Incredibly great stuff. We found out what happens. The rosters fail. We'll be back after the break.
Like, subscribe, or follow Mac Bizzle Radio on Twitter, iTunes, Facebook, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher, and more. Be a part of the DraftKings.com community. Use the referral link, MacBizzle, or enter promo code MacBizzle and start earning money now. Make a deposit, pick a roster, and start winning cash now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Pick a new lineup for any game. Listen here for fantasy football and fantasy basketball advice and cheat sheets customized to the DraftKings.com scoring system. It's easy to win money at DraftKings.com. You are now tuned in to a Mac Bizzo Radio Fantasy Sports Podcast.
All right, and we're back. Maybe you want to take a chance on Nick Foles. Well, I can give you a ton of good reasons why, right? There's all these analytics pointing his direction. But it's too good to be true. But if you do, this is only one of the two really good weeks all season to do it, okay? Now, for Nick Foles personally, on his side of the matchup skill set, this is not a green light situation for him, okay? It's actually a negative red light situation. The Steelers, now even with one of their linebackers out, is just, you know, possibly making it a better situation, okay? But I'm telling you, he will fail about 30% of the time. And in fact, what I want to do, we're just going to zero in on this because everybody else is telling you to play it. I'm telling you, don't do it. Let's go back to some game logs and actually look at how this guy treated your fantasy scoreboard, okay? It's just not going to be worth the risk. Ah, my little window went away. Come on. Okay, so 37% of the time, his performance is terrible. Okay? He has a low projected ceiling of points. His consistency is barely 25%. The projected floor for him is horrible, but then everything else. Oh, his opponent rating, his plus minus, his projected dollar per point. Everything looks so good. Don't do it, I'm telling you. I would rather be wrong and Nick Foles have a great game than tell you to play this guy and have him fail you. Does that make sense? You know? So there's some interesting stuff. We can't spend all day on that guy because the talent level just isn't there. So let's move into player news. Dez Bryant, supposedly a goal to return week 7, 8-ish, okay? Is Romo coming back then? Who knows? Okay, so with fantasy football, you kind of got to get there when you get there kind of thing. You know, look ahead a couple weeks, but that's just too far. If you don't have an IR in your league, you should ask your commissioner, vote with your league, hey, can we get one IR spot? That way, especially maybe two IR spots in a keeper league. That way, you don't have to drop the guy. You can just stash him down in the IR and you still got your bench to use. Ladarius Green still dealing with concussion issues. CJ Spiller supposedly supposed to be heavily involved in the week 3 game plan. So a whole bunch of daily fantasy players are going to gravitate toward this situation. And this is a literal boom or bust kind of scenario. You know, throwing in a CJ Spiller is like not even as good as throwing in a Travis Benjamin, you know. Jericho Cotchery ruled out for week three. Davante Adams says that he doesn't consider his ankle injury to be a true injury. Whatever that means, that kind of news is the news you don't listen to, okay? Allen Hurns, probable for week three. This is interesting. Allen Robinson had a really good week last week, almost like one of these too good to be trues. Okay, so you think he's going to do better than that this next upcoming week? No, if the Patriots decide to shut down Robinson, Hurns is pretty quick. He might actually be a cheap, sneaky kind of GPP play there. Marshawn Lynch testing out the calf, okay? I totally dig Fred Jackson against the Bears. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I totally dig this. This is actually a script scenario that I think is super cool. You've got Bears with their ribs kicked in already on the ground begging for mercy. And then you got Mr. Freddie Jacks getting to maybe run against them. Dude, I'm hoping even because they're friends, apparently Jackson and Lynch here, maybe it's like a buddy-buddy thing. Hey, bro, just kick it. We're good. You know, the Bears ain't even playing Cutler. Half the wide receiver team is out. You know, we're basically playing against the third stringers anyway. And then they just feed Freddie the ball because they don't got to do anything but run the ball and maybe throw a touchdown pass to Jimmy Graham, you know, to get through the week. Super exciting stuff. Denard Robinson listed as doubtful. Okay. I don't like investing into certain players, okay? It cost me mistakes. I don't like investing into a Larry Fitzgerald. Wow. I wish I didn't have that bias. Okay, so back with this Monday night kid, you know, Aaron DeKing that we talked about, you almost have to have a childlike innocence and naivety when creating some of your rosters. And I'll tell you something that I did on the show earlier this week. Divide the slate of games up, you know, hey, just grab your pen, some paper, however you like to do it. If you want to excel it, that's cool. Divide that every week's slate of games up into a few categories. Give yourself one game and call it your fade game. Okay, you're just going to avoid that game completely for the entire week. A lot of the times that's the Thursday game. Thursday games are just kind of weird. Now, take about three games per category, okay? So have a garbage time category. Take the three ugliest garbage time looking games of the week and just you know, write them in one little group, okay? You've got a group for road warriors, okay? Extreme offensive talent that is on the road against really bad teams, okay? Then you've got the home advantage players, whether they're on offense or defense. This week I had a group of about 3-3, so 6 on offense, 6 on defense. Everybody else got tossed into what I call the mix bag. Now what you can do is you can be like, hey, you know what, players that I would never play and never trust, I'm just going to group them into a roster from the garbage time games. And then, you know, if I need some talent somewhere else, it'll be obvious about where to plug it in. But that should, ladies and gentlemen, help you avoid any kind of emotional attachment to your roster creation and eliminate some of the over-analytical bias that the fantasy football community does work very hard at to provide for you. Moving along, AJ Green, probable for week three. Must start there against Baltimore with your season-long leagues. You know, if you want to budget him in, that's up to you. I'm worried about playing Matt Forte this week. He could be the only offensive impact against Seattle at home. Yikes. Eddie Royal, just keep him stashed on the bench. Something's going to happen. Wait till Cutler comes back. Give him a little bit of time to get healthy. Torrey Smith, probable for week three. Okay, so there's a couple guys there for you. Here's this Tevin Coleman, Devontae Freeman issue going on, okay? Pretty sure at this point Coleman is ruled out. Okay, Devontae Freeman and a not very good undrafted free agent, Terran Ward, are going to be pretty much the only backs. Falcons could be calling up even Juwan Edwards, maybe, you know, from the practice squad. This is a tough matchup, really, against the Dallas defense. $4,600 on DraftKings for Freeman. Okay. You've got like the Freeman, James Starks, Bilal Powell kind of scenario this week. And hey, don't play Nick Foles. There's better options for you. Let's move on a little bit into some more guys here. Brandon Cooks participated in practice. Carlos Hyde, he's in. Andre Ellington, yeah, forget about it. It's just not going to happen. Reggie Bush, I don't see a spot on anybody's roster for him at any point in time soon. If we do, we'll let you know. Slight optimism for Eddie Lacy. That sounds like media talk to me. The word, according to ESPN Boston, is that LeGarrette Blount will play a bigger role, okay? It's going to be a bigger Blount rolled for you in week three against the Jaguars, ladies and gentlemen. He's a far better fit, according to them, than what they call the pint-sized scat back, Deion Lewis. All right, DeAndre Hopkins, probable for week three against the Bucs here. Lorenzo Taliaferro, questionable. Brashad Perryman still ruled out, but worth starting to throw on your roster and get a stash there. Brandon Pettigrew officially ruled out. Told you for season-long stuff, definitely liked the Eric Ebron. He's actually ran on 73 of the Lions' 89 passing plays this season. Okay? So that's pretty cool there. Let's see. We talked about a couple of these other guys here. Man, I'm telling you, Freddie Jacks, dude, that just sounds so cool. Drew Brees, obviously out now for the Week 3 matchup versus the Panthers here. So if you got Drew Brees, you know, hey, I mentioned, you know, a couple guys, you know, there'll be somebody there for you, you know, unless maybe you're in a 20-team, you know, league with like a super flex, yeah. Might be tough to go get a QB. Hopefully you drafted more than one. Tom Brady at quarterback, though, 24.5% owned in FanDuel's Thursday NFL snap game. Le'Veon Bell, 18% owned. Deion Lewis, 17.9% owned. Okay, this is a situation, I just see it coming. Too many people in the media all over Deion Lewis. This is a Belichick thing. You guys, this stuff happens every year. Don't let it catch you by surprise. I would rather tell you to not start the guy than tell you to start him and have you get burned. Okay. Moving along here. Jordan Cameron, questionable, along with Lamar Miller for week three. This could be a great time for it. Now, I'm telling you, this is not going to be a good week for Miami, but it could be a great time for the Jarvis Landry, Rishard Matthews possibility here, okay? Arian Foster ruled out for week three. Eric Decker to be a game time decision. possibly Jeremy Curley, Devin Smith. Yeah, battling for scraps. Yeah. Ay, ay, ay. Alshon Jeffrey officially ruled out. So the Bears are definitely going to just kind of punt the game home at Seattle. Jonathan Stewart, 4,900. Okay. But is questionable for week three. Probable, though, LeSean McCoy. He's down to 6,100. Could be an interesting situation there. DeMarco Murray, 6,600. Ultra risky. You know somebody I really do like that is super inexpensive? So I told you no about this other guy, Nick Foles, but I think I want to sell you on Delanie Walker, okay? So he was out with the wrist injury, okay? He has 3,400 DraftKings cash, okay? Eric Ebron's 3,300. Heath Miller's 35. You know, so couple of good options here. But let's talk about a little bit about Walker, okay? So his projected ceiling, very good. His consistency, very good. His projected floor is very good. But his player performance really does have kind of a 50-50 shot to give you a dud. But here's what I want to hone in on. When I was looking at the history of how many points that he got according to what his salary was through the other matchups that have already happened from, you know, last year and then, you know, at the Bucks. So 3,400 at the Bucks, 13.3 points. That was only on 3 targets, 3 receptions, and 43 yards, okay? But if we look at when his salary was cheap, okay, last year versus the Eagles, he was 3,100, 23.5 points, okay? Last year at the Texans, he was 4,300 and put up 13 points, okay? Now, as his salary got higher, okay, into the 56, 53 range, even 4,800, okay? Anything over that 43, 4,400, even at 4,400, single-digit fantasy production, okay? So this is probably a situation where, hey, sounds like a pretty good play. All right, any other guys? There's just so many guys. C.J. Anderson, getting the toe tag. Is he going to come back to life for your fantasy roster? Chris Ivory, a game time decision for week three. While Powell is only 3K salary on DraftKings, he's definitely going to be on tournament radars. Okay, but then you've got to kind of watch first thing in the morning, okay? Now, these last names of these Jets wide receivers, I'm telling you, blah. If you want to punt, like if Decker's out, you know, there's, like I said, Devin Smith, Jeremy Curley, this kid over there named Quincy. I don't know anything about him, okay? I'm just throwing that out there. Justin Forsett taking on the Bengals in week three. Supposedly the worst against running backs in the league so far this season. Houston obviously has a pretty good chance to have a pretty high ceiling in DST. You know, along with Seattle. We got Matt Stafford practicing, you know, in full there. Julian Edelman, a lot of targets, okay? We talked about that. I think pretty much what we're going to do is give you a little bit of info here, kind of switch gears. Okay? We'll give you a little info after the break.
Hey, everyone. Gronk here telling you to check out DraftKings.com, my home for one-week fantasy football.
You are now tuned in to a Mac Bizzo Radio Fantasy Sports Podcast.
Once again, Mac B.
Here in the mix.
All right, cruising back with you. So we've got a ton of great stuff here. Jonathan Stewart, maybe a little bit from him this week. Isaiah Crowell, Marvin Jones. Okay, so maybe you don't want to try the AJ Green thing. Think about Marvin Jones, okay? I really don't like the concept of playing Kenny Britt. It makes me super uncomfortable. But so would have playing Larry Fitzgerald. And he had, you know, probably the highest output for the entire season. But still, you know. I would expect less from, Sam Bradford. Expect less from Doug Martin, Matt Ryan. Probably want to fade the Giovanni Bernard thing. Even Amari Cooper in a little bit tougher of a matchup along with Calvin Johnson. And Tyler Eifert in a little bit tougher matchup this week as well. So those are guys, you know, maybe to think about when you're designing your rosters, okay? Pure green light ratings this week at quarterback. In order, Russell Wilson, Cam Newton, Tom Brady, Carson Palmer. Now, while Aaron Rodgers and Nick Foles do have green light ratings, they're not pure, meaning that Kansas City has a little bit of defense and that Nick Foles just generally sucks. Ben Roethlisberger coming in at 7th overall, but that's not, you know, that's not what I call a double green, okay? And then what's really awesome when you take these pure greens for the quarterbacks, you match them up with the wide receivers, you know. So honorable mention here, you've got Phillip Rivers at 11th, and those are pretty much going to be your top guys. Moving along to running back here. The situation for Marshawn Lynch, if he goes, is top of the list, okay? Justin Forsett, okay? Mark Ingram, believe it or not. Ripley is on that. But there's not a lot of pure green light running backs this week. So, you know, obviously Le'Veon Bell ranked good. Jamaal Charles ranked good. Probably don't want to play Matt Forte. And, you know, AP even not in a pure green light matchup this week, but definitely an advantage situation for him. So, I'm going to scroll down. I'm just going to see here some of my favorite guys here. It looks like Darren Sproles. It doesn't look too bad, but he's ranked 42nd overall. Carlos Hyde, popular name, ranked pretty low, 48th overall. C.J. Spiller down there at 54th, so not really a good situation for them. Your two best supposed waiver wire injury filling guys, Powell and Starks, bottom of the list. Okay, so those could definitely be trap plays for you in daily fantasy. Wide receivers, okay, so we've got Antonio Brown, Randall Cobb, we saw what happened with Odell Beckham, A.J. Green, Emmanuel Sanders, okay, Mike Evans, Demaryius Thomas, and Brandon Marshall, all in pure green light matchups. You know, and in fact, it looks like maybe Byron Maxwell not the best coverage if he ends up playing on Brandon Marshall. And how can you forget the name Captain Mutterland? As he muddles around on the field, I think Stevie Johnson definitely in a radically awesome situation. And so far, him and Landry, to be honest, have been my personal favorite wide receiver plays so far this season. Not gigantic upside games, but definitely really solid floors. I think every guy, almost every week's put up maybe about 20 points. Definitely double-digit production. No question there. We talked about Delanie Walker. I think that's a good situation. Pure green light matchup for him. Kind of fading the Jared Cook thing. That's just a little scary. Maybe a GPP play. Martellus Bennett, but you got Cam Chancellor coming back, so I don't know about that. Slight honorable mention for Heath Miller, but just not a whole lot of green light, guys. It's really at the QB wide receiver stack this week. Let's move on to some players that had an amazing week last week that probably are going to be heavily owned in a bad way. Okay, so several of these players could easily fail you compared to their games last week. Allen Robinson, Derek Carr, Torrey Smith, Larry Fitzgerald, Steve Smith, Joe Flacco, Crockett Gilmore, Michael Crabtree, Colin Kaepernick, Calvin Johnson, Sammy Watkins, Travis Benjamin, and Amari Cooper. Now, on the opposite spectrum here, guys that did not have a good week, that still, you know, might be able to have some regression analysis here. So we talked a little bit tougher for Tyler Eifert, okay? But he's on that side. You can obviously beat 2 points over last week at Amir Abdullah, right? Okay. Kendall Wright, thinking about that a little bit. DeAndre Hopkins, bounce back candidate, maybe along with Carlos Hyde and possibly even Keenan Allen. Some teams that have offenses putting up huge amount of fantasy points this year. Just to recap for you, in case you're not watching your fantasy roster, the New England Patriots giving you the wins, okay, along with the Pittsburgh Steelers, San Diego Chargers, Arizona Cardinals, believe it or not, the Oakland Raiders in the top fantasy overall point production so far this season. That's crazy. Dallas Cowboys, Atlanta Falcons, those are all your tip-top cream of the crop. If you want some teams, then maybe you should avoid a little bit. Be cautious about the Vikings, the Browns, the Bucks, the Rams, maybe even the Panthers, but we talked about Cam Newton, Jaguars, you know, I think the Colts will bounce back, Kansas City Chiefs, Baltimore Ravens, and you probably want to fade the Bears. So, let's zoom through some of these salaries. DraftKings, let's talk about the best bargain players of the week. Seems a little sketchy, some of these names. Joe Flacco, yeah, I really don't like that. Ryan Fitzpatrick, maybe a Fitzpatrick, Brandon Marshall stack sounds something likely to be owned across the board in DFS NFL Week 3. Okay, 5,100. I would start to fade Fitzpatrick in October, especially with the news of Geno Smith coming back. I'm just throwing that out there for you. But, yeah, some people like Colin Kaepernick. You know, a little bit of upside with him. I just don't feel consistency from him. 6,300 on DraftKings. We've got Carson Palmer. That's no secret, at least while he's healthy, take advantage, okay? Other guys, possibly Russell Wilson. He's down a little bit in salary. Andy Dalton, Phillip Rivers, you know. So those are going to be the more kind of bargain guys. Let's look at the difference between those guys and then bargain guys on FanDuel because they're just completely different pricing, but this gives you a great gauge about players here. So you've only got maybe Luke McCown, Jimmy Clausen, Alex Smith, and I really like, you know, FanDuel quarterback this week, 6,800, Teddy Bridgewater. He's got some great analytics in his favor and reasonably consistent there. Kirk Cousins, you don't want any part of that. Yeah, it's just so tough week for value at quarterback on FanDuel, but let's move over back to DraftKings here. Let's slide over to the running back And I just want to throw this out there. You do have a chance of James Starks putting up duds for you. While he has all these great analytics in his favor, you just, hey, you know, be careful, okay? Fred Jackson, $3,000. Love it, okay? Love it. I'm not sure if it's a cash game play, but I love it, okay? Frank Gore, $4,500. Seems reasonable. I don't think I'll put Deion Lewis in a single roster. Carlos Hyde, 5,400. He's still kind of in that mid-tier section there. But if we're talking FanDuel at running back, different guys, different names, okay? They'll give you a bargain this week if you want to play Matt Forte for 8,400 at home against Seattle. Yeah, they'll make that a little more affordable for you. Latavius Murray, okay, this is a great PPR play. You've got Justin Forsett in there. CJ Spiller on FanDuel, $6,000. I just, it seems so risky there. I'd rather spend the extra on a Jamal Charles, Le'Veon Bell kind of situation. Joseph Randall on FanDuel, $6,500. So if we hop back over to DraftKings and slide into the wide receiver spot here, if you want to go cheap for a GPP, Kamar Aiken, $3,400. Not a lot trending his way, and pretty much a split risk at 33% in any direction. You just don't know what's going to happen, stud, dud, or, you know, kapow. Aaron Dobson could be a sneaky GPP play, $3,000 on DraftKings. A lot of analytics in his favor, good value, huge chance of giving you a dud, but some pretty good analytics in his favor this week. So think about that a little bit. We're going to stay on DraftKings and slide over to the tight end position. Super risky, Jared Cook, $2,800. You get what you pay for. There is some upside there at the play. Richard Rodgers now down to $2,500. There's a lot of great analytics in his favor this week on DraftKings. So, you know, to Gronk or not to Gronk, hey, you could throw in Scott Chandler for $2,700. I definitely think there's a little potential for upside there. If you own Gronkowski in a season-long league, you must own Scott Chandler just in case Gronk gets hurt. You're still going to have kind of, you know, poor man's Gronk there, and definitely love that. But if we hop over to FanDuel, now let's pop in to the tight end position for them. And they'll give you value on Jimmy Graham, a little bit better of a bargain in their format at $6,300. You've got Martellus Bennett at $5,600. Gronkowski, actually a little bit of a value over there, believe it or not, $8,400 on FanDuel. That's kind of the difference there. You know, maybe you Gronk on FanDuel and you, don't Gronk this week on DraftKings. But let's move over to the wide receiver. And that's going to be for FanDuel. Julio Jones, $9,000. That's actually for FanDuel, considering the analytics in his favor. A pretty good price there. Jordan Matthews seems like a sketchy scenario. I'm just not sure you want to try that this week. Probably go, you know, everybody likes an Antonio Brown. It's $9,300 FanDuel cash there for you. Just tons of great stuff. I mean, everybody talks about it, but play him anyway. We'll catch you on the next show on Mac Bizzle Radio.
You have been listening to Mac Bizzle Radio. Use the DraftKings referral link. Like on Facebook. Follow on Twitter. Subscribe on iTunes, listen on Blog Talk Radio, and more. It's all at Mac Bizzo.